Show, episode number 503. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me from across the country. He's in the Big Apple. He's in the city that never sleeps. He's in whatever else you call. He's in New York. What's going on, man?
I don't know. I'd say it sleeps because this, for some reason, the time change, man. I think I was in bed and asleep by like 10 o'clock, so I'm not doing New York right, I guess.
Wait, the time change is supposed to work the other way around. You're supposed to be up late. That doesn't make any sense.
It messed me up. I think I screwed myself the first day because it was like such an early flight, so I didn't sleep much. So I think by the time I got here, I was tired, went to bed early that night, and my body's still just like, whatever. It's cool, man. It's in a different area. It's funny, we're staying closer to Radio City Music Hall, which normally they would always do a press conference at Radio City Music Hall. So I saw it, and I didn't even look at the schedule. I forgot. I was like, dude, dope. When they do the press conference there or whatever, I'll be able to walk. And they're like, no, we're not doing it this year. And I was like, it's cool. But yeah, I mean, there's something about the energy in this city. It's unique. I mean, just like in any other major city, there's just something. There's definitely a buzz about being in here, and it's definitely cool to see them talk. I turned on the local news just to kind of try to get a feel of the city, and they were talking about the event coming up.
Really?
You see some billboards on the street. Yeah, it popped up on like the sports during the sports section.
Nice.
So I thought that was pretty cool that they were even talking about it, you know.
Hell
so
yeah.
Yeah, here we are over in New York City, your favorite town.
Well, I was as you were talking about the energy and stuff like that. I've said it over the years, it's not my favorite city, but you can't deny the energy that you feel when you're there, right? Like, there's just a buzz for everything that's going on. I'm not talking about just around the event. I'm just saying, like, there is something about New York. So, like, I have to give it. Even though it's not my favorite city on the planet, I will say you can't deny there's that little – that energy when you get there. It's just bustling and everything is going on. It's kind of fun, man. Did you get to experience a little bit of it at all? I mean, I know you've just been there
I mean, just walking through it at night and stuff, you know, it's just been kind of cool. But no, I mean, I haven't, we're further down than normal when you're down by like Times Square. Times Square, you're in the mix.
Yeah.
Up here, we're a little bit more north. It feels more like you're dealing with the people that live in this area, the business people that are sort of transitioning. So I haven't felt like the craziness of a little bit further down into Manhattan, but I'm actually going to try to go over and get to see, I think tomorrow I'm going to try to do it. Or at some point, maybe even before fight day, I'm going to actually get into Central Park. I wanted to go over this morning, but I just couldn't get out of bed. It felt good. I was sleeping. The first alarm went off at like 6 a.m. I was like, no, that was just the pre-wake up. I was like, 6:30, I got you. 6:30 came, I was like, no, 6:30, let's try 7. 7 came, I was like, we're done. I was like, we're sleeping. I was like, let's get up later and go get breakfast and call it a day. So, yeah, so I did get out, and it was actually, I went to this place down the street that was kind of pretty highly rated. It's called Toasties, and I started getting like the soup Nazi vibes and was like, okay, don't fuck this up. Everybody's in line, you know, like there's a line for if you're getting salads. There's a line if you're getting the comfort food. There's a line if you're getting like the hot food, and everybody's in line. And the guy's like, next. And you get up there and they're just like, everything bagel sliced with egg, sausage, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, turns to his right and he's barking the orders. And I'm like, oh shit, don't fuck it up. I was like, are you sure do you want anything else? I was like, I rehearsed it. I was like, okay, we're going to get the Saturday. I think it's called the Saturday morning. It's like a wrap with like potatoes and eggs and all kinds of and salsa. It was really, really good. I was like, should I ask for anything else? I was like, I don't want to fuck it up. I don't want them to like push me to the side. I don't want to kick me out of the queue. So I just went up and said it. And then you go over and pay and then you kind of queue up. But I can see where if somebody had never been there before, it looks kind of intimidating because everybody has a little routine, you know. So, but I can see where if you're in New York, this is just the routine, you know, like you're used to this sort of thing. And a lot of other places, there's so many people coming to and fro that you can't, they ain't got no time for fucking about, you know, like you got to get in, get out, or get out of the way, you know. So yeah, it was kind of cool seeing that just for dealing with like the breakfast stuff. But yeah, funny. As for like the city crazy hustle bustle, no, I mean, like you just see people going you know, about their business, going to work. And that's ultimately what made me, people here dress very, very nicely, especially people going to work. Everybody looks really good.
Right.
And it set me off this rabbit hole that when you first got on with me, I'm like looking online, like, I need to get me some new clothes. I need to get this, because I'm looking at everybody. I'm like, I look like a bum compared to everybody in the street. Like, oh, literally, somebody's going to come up to me and hand me money and say, like, here, go get you some food.
Hey, here in Vegas, we're like t-shirts, shorts, flip-flops. You know, when it's the wintertime, you put the socks on with the flip-flops. You know what I mean? Like, that's just how it's a different vibe out here. You know what I mean?
It is. It is. Maybe it's that whole West Coast. Once you go halfway across the country, everybody's like, just relax. Relax with your fancy outfit, bro.
As soon as you get across the Rocky Mountains, bro, we put on the shorts and the flip-flops here on the west side, man. It's hilarious.
Oxfords off and put on these boots, bro.
Oh, that's funny. Well,
it is cool. It is cool to be here, though.
We got some UFC 309 to talk about, but I did want to share real quick. I had a quick panic this morning. So you talk about, I think this is just getting older. I only got one kid. I haven't gone through this whole parenting thing a lot, but this morning I woke up and I was going to connect with you, and I didn't have any batteries in my recorder. And I'm like, well, no problem. Let me just reach over here into my gear bag. You know, obviously I traveled the world with you covering events. Don't do it much anymore, but had built out my gear bag. I was always very much like you. I had everything charged, ready to go. I mean, that's part of the routine, right? You make sure you have everything. I used to have 24 rechargeable batteries ready to go in my bag at all times. More than I really needed, but there was enough that, like, technically, if I was on an event and I couldn't cover, you know, I couldn't ever get to a charger, I still had enough that I would make it through the whole time. Yep, I was good the whole time. Because you know what we need when we're on the road. We need power and we need internet. As long as we got that, we can work from anywhere. So anyway, I go in to grab my batteries, no problem. There's no batteries whatsoever. All my batteries are gone, and immediately I know exactly what happened. My son, who is, you know, bordering on teenage years now, he's just been slowly but surely pilfering my little batteries away to put into his charger here, his piece of equipment there, his little whatever. He's adding to his electronics repertoire and building his whole arsenal and jacking my batteries in the meantime, man. So I don't know. I bet every parent of a teenager has gone through this, but today was the first day that it's ever happened to me where I needed something and that shit was just gone. Because my son had jacked me. My son had jacked me, man. It was an eye-opening experience for me this morning.
It's like the age-old tale, you know, the son coming up always takes from father. And then father's, one day he just surpasses him. He's like, Dad, I got all the power now.
I got all the power. Look at that.
I got all the power, literally.
Look at the metaphor there. That was well done, sir. Yeah, it's funny because you mentioned being able to sleep in. I had to get up early since I'm on the West Coast. I'm actually flying this afternoon to North Carolina. We got a lot of CFFC match day to get to this week, so I will not be in New York for UFC 309, but I'll be around you. I'll be in North Carolina on Friday. I'll be in New Jersey on Sunday. I'll be in Philly on Saturday. I'll be close to you, but I'm not over there. But I went in there and I had to get up early to connect with you before I head to the airport. My son was still sleeping. I literally just walked into his bedroom. I'm like, yo, bro, where's my batteries at, man? Like, it is like fog of haze. He's like, there's some downstairs, Dad. So I had to go downstairs and I found them. And yeah,
you woke him up while he was mid-dreaming about Fortnite or whatever kids that age dream about.
100%. So anyway, all right, let's get into UFC 309. That's the reason we're together this week. That's what the big talk is. I guess there's a lot I want to talk to you about because obviously you were there yesterday. I was watching your Media Day coverage yesterday. I've seen your Media Day footage out there in several places, so it's great. You really
several outlets have decided to use my footage.
Fantastic, you know, work that you did there. I mean, it's just great that you're giving to the community and just allowing other outlets to just take your stuff.
Really does my heart good know that I can help those up and coming underdogs rise above.
When you're just launching a website and you don't have a lot of financial resources behind you, you got to scrape to get by. And you can understand how these just small, minuscule little payrolls would just steal your.
Startups. I understand startups. I understand your pain, but you know, usually you would ask or something.
What? I don't want to go too far into this, but that is very annoying. In fact, I know. I don't know. I don't want to go too far into it, but there has to be some kind of understanding. Like, that footage is just not public domain. Like, somebody is paying for a flight, for hotels, for gear, for equipment, for all that stuff, and the point is, yes, to get clicks, to generate profit, to the advertising that's associated with it, and all those things, and to get money. And somehow it seems like we've shifted to a culture where it's just okay for anybody out there to just take whatever footage is out there. And this, I mean, look, this isn't even really my game anymore. But I'm just saying, like, something's got to change, man. It's not okay to just jack somebody's footage like that. Like, if you want to do the whole thing where you do the copy where you embed their original footage, so at least they get credit for the plays on it, and then you make your comment, you make your evaluation, whatever the case may be, then so be it. But this idea that footage, you can just go out there and jack it and use it for your own goods, something's got to change on that, man. It's not okay.
I mean, YouTube has gone so far as to allow you to create clips from other people's streams and stuff, and then you can make that and take that and hyperlink it, and then you could push it. So you could do exactly like what you said, you know, create your own little idea of what you want to spotlight and highlight, but still giving the view to the person that actually went and took the time, set up their camera, flew there. What's unfortunate, because some of these sites and places that do it actually live in this town and are in this town and had people on the ground. But since your people there on the ground were too busy saying hello and shaking hands and saying hi to everybody, they didn't actually shoot stuff. And then there's this idea of like, well, if it's on the internet, it's public domain. Let me give you guys all a copyright class. That is not public domain. That is still owned by the copyright holder. When something's in the public domain, it means the copyright has elapsed. And you're talking like 75 years or so after the person has died.
Yep.
You know, like, it's not public domain by just being in the public. That's not the same thing. Look up what public domain is, and, you know, you'll see that it's not the same. But a lot of these outlets and so many people, and I see even friends and colleagues do the same thing. They'll take it and they'll grab stuff and they put these social clips out that somebody else has used. And they all do anything, and like, well, everybody else is doing it, and they haven't said anything.
Right.
They didn't slap my wrist. Well, I work for a major corporation that if people look at them and say, well, I'm going to go after them because they have money they can go after. They think when these other sites take it, they're like, well, what's the point? What's the point? There's nothing. It's never going to do anything. I'm never going to get anything. Well, I work for a corporation. If you say you happen to be the one person that actually has lawyers and stuff and you want to protect your shit and you would come after me, they go after my company. And that's why my company tells us, do not use anything that is not yours. If you do not have clearance, if you did not ask for permission, do not use it.
Yep.
But in this day and age, they're like, well, look, I can pull out my phone. I can screen record anything off my phone. Look, I've downloaded an app. And say you're there on site and you stream. I have this app that will record it in a great HD version. And then I can take that and I can make a clip and put it out. Just because you can do that does not give you the legal right to do so. And there are ramifications if somebody does that. But a lot of outlets out there, they still feel like we're this like guerrilla warfare and like everything goes and there's no rights and you don't have to ask for anything. And that's not the case. It's not the case. It's just like going into somebody's store and creating and stealing their creation. You think just because you can that you're allowed to do that? That's not true. You don't go into the grocery store and say, well, I really like this food. I think I can make something great with this. You don't just take it because you think, well, I can get away with it. It's the same thing. It's just a different medium, you know?
It's a shame. It's, you know, it's again, it's not like a personal attack on anybody or whatever that's doing it. It just really is a terrible business practice. And honestly, it hurts everybody because if, you know, the major corporations that do have money in the game to pay for reporters and people to be out there are suddenly not getting the clicks and views that they need to pay for it, they'll stop paying for it. And then all of a sudden we don't have any media coverage of it whatsoever. I mean, I do feel like we're already seeing kind of lesser media coverage in a lot of ways. I mean, especially we see it at like the Apex events and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I kind of almost as a joke to say it, but it is really a big problem in our industry. And I don't know if there's a way to fix it other than appeal to people's moral conscience to understand that it's not, like you said, there are legal, I mean, it's just not right. So
I bet all, well, yeah, I don't want to. Now I was going to really start going.
No.
I bet these people are all God-fearing people as well, you know, telling you to do this. And that they'll go and steal stuff, but yet they believe in this and that, I bet.
Yeah, I know.
That's me jumping down a rabbit hole.
All right, let's talk about UFC 309 before we start getting ourselves in trouble. All right, listen. Normally, I want to get your temperature on this because I think when this fight was announced, like most people, I mean, I was okay. Like, I get it. And it was rescheduled. And, you know, we kept talking about other options. And Dana kept saying, no, John Jones and Stipe Miocic, that's the fight to make. It's the fight that has to happen. And all of us, I think collectively, all of us were just kind of like, does it have to? I mean, if it does, cool. Yeah. If it doesn't. But here's the thing. Now, the UFC does a phenomenal job of marketing and promoting and all that. They have the countdowns and the embeds and all that. I haven't seen any of it, if I'm being 100% honest. I have not seen a single minute of the footage, and that's abnormal for me. I usually watch everything. But this week, I have a very busy weekend because we have a CFSC match day event on Friday, and then we have one on Sunday that's actually two matches. So we actually have back-to-back. So it's three events in the course of 3 days, basically. And so I've been very, very much involved in the pre-production for all that and getting the graphics ready and getting, you know, all that stuff. So I've just been
–
I know. I'm loving it. I enjoy it. But I've been so busy that I haven't really been able to soak in all of that pre-fight content the way I normally do. And the reason I wanted to clarify that is that they do such a good job of promoting and marketing that usually no matter what the fight is, by the time it rolls around, you're like, all right, let's go, because they've sold you the story. They've got the little sizzle. Yep. They're so good at that, right? I haven't soaked in any of that, but I got to say, I'm a hell of a lot more excited for this fight than I was when it was first announced, because I still think that there are other alternatives, and there are a lot of question marks about the layoffs and the age and all that. But when I really start to break down the fight itself and where it's going to play out and how it's going to go, like, I think Stipe has a lot more chances to win this fight than maybe anybody is giving to him. And so because of that, like, to be honest with you, I kind of feel the way I did when John Jones fought Ciryl Gane. We talked about it before, but when that fight happened, I don't think we got really any answers whatsoever out of that Ciryl Gane fight. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't even a fight. Like, can John Jones take a punch at heavyweight? We don't know. Can John Jones go late into a fight when he's at heavyweight carrying all this extra muscle mass? We don't know. You know what I mean? All we know that if you don't do anything against him for 2 minutes, he will beat you. That's what we know. That's what we learned.
We know he's very heavy on you. If he lays against your head while he's standing up, it's very heavy.
If you allow him to just push you down in the corner and sit on top of you, you will lose to John. That's the only questions we got to answer. So I don't know. Like, I know you're an Ohio guy. I know you're a Stipe guy. I know that you got to watch him eat lunch yesterday while he was doing his meeting.
So ridiculous.
That was so weird. Why did he come up with a plate of food?
They walked in there and they immediately walked towards the back because I don't think they were quite ready to just go straight up. And then they saw the food in the back. They must have smelled it and then just grabbed it straight to it. And then Stipe being Stipe was just like, well, let's just go in here.
I was watching this thing. I was like, is that like a power play right there? Like, we know he doesn't really like doing interviews. Is that how he's distracting himself? Or is he just showing you that he doesn't care about you so much that I'm going to eat
so much? I'm going to eat in front of you. You're going to film me eating.
You're going to get the audio of me chewing during all of my answers and everything. I thought that was a funny play. But anyway, so laying that all out, you tell me, what's the energy in the room? What's the discussion on the ground? Is everybody getting more excited about this, or is everybody still kind of like, ho-hum, whatever? What's the feel that experience and everybody else?
I think people are excited because they want to see this fight because they haven't seen both guys fight in so long. And there was, you know, it was funny afterwards. One of the PR staff came over and they're like, all right, guys, give us your highlights from the day. And, you know, it was hard to not say, you know, Jones' energy. Maybe it was just the fact of seeing Jones just feeling him work the crowd. He's just got he's so at ease when he talks up there. You know, you're either, you know, expecting that he's either going to jump on a reporter and just kind of like, no, shut down the question. But I thought the questions that he answered, he did a great job of just sort of being very eloquent and saying his answers. And he just, maybe it was just hearing from him. I know that the room was like, dude, that was great. It was good hearing from him after, even though he kind of said some things, then backtracked a little bit, you know, like, I respect Tom, you know, I read this, but, you know, who is Tom to all the way at the end, you know, Tom and his team are assholes. You know, blah, 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 blah. But it was nice hearing him give the respect to Stipe. You know, he was talking about Stipe's, you know, right hand, you know, got to watch out for this. But they both looked, maybe it was just me as well, just nostalgia factor, finally seeing these two guys again. You know, it was fun to kind of see them, you know, and just good energy from both guys. And I think I don't think anybody changed their mind as for who they were picking just off of yesterday. If anything right. else, I thought Stipe, when you see a picture, you never can really make too much from it. But the last time I saw Stipe, I think it was in firefighter gear, and I was like, man, he looked kind of old. He looked, and I'm not saying like old, but just like a well-versed fireman that's been doing it for, and he looked like he was 40-some years old. I'm like, this guy's not a fighter, you know? And then you see him up there, I'm like, okay, there it is again. You know, I see Stipe the fighter again. Like, so it was good to see that again because, and it's not like it changed. I'm still leaning Jones in this. I mean, would I love it if Stipe can pull out what I would consider a miracle in this situation, just in terms of, I feel like John has been preparing for a fight, has been around gyms doing whatever. I feel like Stipe has been around saving lives, doing the fireman thing, and then hops into a gym to start training for a fight. Whereas I feel like Jones has still sort of been living in that world, whether he's been strength training, whether he's been doing all this other stuff. I just feel like he's been living a more athletic focused life than what Stipe has. So to see Stipe up there and kind of switch back in that mode, even though I had to wait till he got done eating to really sort of see what he was looking like. But there was still a point about that. I was chuckling inside about that. I was just like, fuck yeah, Stipe, go do your thing, man. Who cares? You know, I in my head, I was like, I wonder what he thinks about that veggie wrap, because I thought the veggie wrap was pretty good too. But I did not ask him about that because it looked like he didn't finish it either. I think he probably thought there was some meat in there. And once he started eating, he's like, oh, fuck, I grabbed the veggie wrap. That sucks. But it was
that would have been great if somebody just went like a full on like breaking down of the plate that he had. And hey, yeah, were you expecting that one wrap to have meat? Because I thought that one had meat when I grabbed it too. Like, were you
surprised that the wrap didn't get soggy? I was surprised. How about you? You know,
what was the thoughts when you first saw the spread that was available today? What was it?
Did you go with the potatoes? Did you go with the potatoes they had back there? But no, I think everybody in the room is still, you know, even when we did Jose was asking all the fighters up there thoughts on the fight. You had a couple answers that were very, you know, it's going to be a great fight, you know, one for the ages, it should be interesting to see. And everybody else is just like Jones.
Yep.
And I think that if you had to take a temperature of the room, I think most people were definitely feeling that. I don't think anybody was swayed by anything that anybody said up there, but I think if anything else, it definitely reminded us what it was like to be in a, you know, media day setting sort of with those guys. Both of them are very well versed. They deal with the questions great. You know, I didn't feel awkward for either one of them. It didn't feel like, oh man, hey, we haven't done this in 2 years. What am I doing up here? You know, they're both pros. So I'm excited for it. If anything, maybe more excited because now I've seen their faces. And again, now I feel like I'm seeing Stipe back into fight mode. Jones looked good, man. He looked, full, man. Like these are heavyweights, man. That there's something about when these guys, you know, like when Jones used to try to go, and you know, now I feel like, was that a struggle going down the light heavy? You know, I mean, he looks every bit the heavyweight, and you know, so I'm looking forward to this. I want to see a fight. You know, I think when we saw the like you said, the Cyril Gane.
He will not say anything other than Cyril Gane. He's like, I fought Gane. Like, certainly over the – at some point, somebody has had to come to him and say, bro, it's gone. It's not
gone. Yeah. Like with the wind. That fight happened in the past. It's gone with the wind.
I fought Cyril Gane.
And somebody in our Slack chat was like – they're like, I hope somebody, you know, really teaches him how to say gone. I was like, and I wrote spelling with Cyril Gane's name. I was like, we gain nothing if that happens.
well done, sir. Very clever.
On the back, clever. But no, I mean, it's a fight week, man. I'm ready to go. I think it'd be more exciting. It'd be interesting to see. I think the crowd, we know the crowd loves Jones. I mean, yep. I think Stipe, you know, in the Midwest, people will give Stipe a lot of respect out of, you know, what Stipe does for a living. But I'm going into today's press conference with every expectation that when Jones gets up there, the crowd's going to go crazy. They're going to love him. They love him here. And I think Absolutely. That's anywhere. There's just something about that guy. He's very charismatic. He puts on good fights. And I think, he talks a good game. I think as many people that were filling our chat yesterday with duck icons, duck, nonstop, are the same people that if Jones walks in that room, they're like, fuck yeah, John Jones. Dude, can I take a pic?
100%.
You know, like, they fucking, well, he's very charismatic.
All right, I want to get to that because we definitely need to talk about that. But I want to say, I thought you hit on something really strong there, is talking about the lights. It's funny, as you talk about it, I'm like, I mean, we already know what the difference is in these two in the games of these two. I mean, at heavyweight, anything can happen. Stipe is, I mean, legitimate puncher's chance, if that ever described anything. And I hate saying that because when you say puncher's chance, it almost sounds like you're saying, you know, they just need a miracle, like they can't actually do this. Yeah. But he's the underdog for a reason. But I thought what you touched on there, the lifestyle. I mean, like, you got one guy who's doing jiu-jitsu with Gordon Ryan and wrestling with Gable Stevenson, and you know, yep. then you got another guy who's like, well, I did my shift at the firehouse today, yeah. and then I went and pumped.
Then
some
I wrestled
iron
with home. I wrestled with the kids at home.
Yeah, 100%. And it's like, and again, I'm not. I mean, that sounds silly, and it's like insulting to Stipe. I mean, obviously he's dedicated in his training, yeah. and obviously his accomplishments cannot be erased, and he has the most title defense. So, I mean, I'm not trying to minimize it, but it's kind of funny when you paint it in just that way of like what their lifestyle is on a day-to-day basis. It's like, yeah. damn, like one dude's preparing himself for war, and the other dude's like, well, I mean, he's a firefighter. That's a hell of a lot of respect, but yeah. I mean, look, I think John is the – I mean, look, I am a big John Jones fan. I'm a big supporter. I know all the outside stuff and the people that hate him and whatever. He's a human. He's made a lot of mistakes. Nothing that he's done is perfect. I'm not trying to say that, you know, he's the guy you should model your life after. But as far as a fighter, and he's always been very good to me personally, but as a fighter, I just don't think you can deny the greatness. But I do think it's interesting because I do think that Stipe packs a punch. And again, to me, it's take Stipe out of the equation. It's just the questions we had going into the Ciryl Gane fight that we didn't get answers for in that fight. Then now I think we're going to get answers. Will the chin hold up at heavyweight? Is the cardio an issue when he's got the extra muscle? All those things, and Stipe can definitely test that. So I do believe John is the right pick here. The odds certainly indicate that, but I do think there's the possibility. Like, if Stipe wins, it's not as if I'm going, oh, my God, move aside Matt Serra. That's the craziest upset in the history of mixed martial arts. Like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like, no, we just don't know if John Jones is the same guy at heavyweight. So I'm actually intrigued by this fight. I'm very excited to tune in on Saturday night. I wish I was going to be there ringside, but I'm not. But I'm excited to tune in. Now, I want to talk to you about the duck thing because it's interesting. As you said, I mean, John kind of – he came out there and he yelled, and it was funny because it started out as like, you know, well, respectfully, what does he come in? By the end, he's calling Tom Aspinall an asshole or whatever, which was pretty funny. I mean, but to be honest, like, it is because I'm having a hard time, and I feel like I'm one of the few people. I will say I got a text message from a friend this morning that had the same opinion. I won't say who he is. He's in the mixed martial arts space, but it was funny. I was like, good. I thought I was on an island. I am not judging John Jones for this at all. Like, I think he is one of the few people that has accomplished enough in the sport to call his shot 100% as he sees it. And if he's saying, look, I don't really want to fight the guy. He hasn't accomplished anything yet. And look, I would love to see John Jones versus Tom Aspinall. I would love it. But John Jones doesn't owe the sport anything. He doesn't owe any matchup anything. And oh, by the way, if you're saying that he's ducking, which is ridiculous. He's not afraid to fight anybody, that's for sure. But he has a right to protect his legacy. He has a right to say, look at what I've done. I've beaten everybody. Go back and look at the resume. Like, I've beaten everybody. I don't need to beat this new, you know, crop of contenders, whatever. That's fine. I think he's earned the right to do that. But more so than that, I honestly believe if we're talking about from a legacy standpoint, and let's be honest, from a financial standpoint, what's the bigger fight? It's John Jones versus Alex Pereira. I really believe that's the biggest fight you can make in the UFC right now. And I love Tom Aspinall. I think that dude, to be honest with you, I think 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when we're doing the MMA Roadshow episode number 1,000, you know, we might be talking about Tom Aspinall as the GOAT, if not the GOAT heavyweight, you know, maybe the greatest of all time in any of it. Who knows? I mean, the guy looks very much the part. But honestly, and I thought John Jones said it right. Like, look, do you want me versus Alex Pereira, or do you want me going away? Take your pick. And I don't know, man. Like, if he's only got one fight left and it's Alex Pereira, I don't see that as ducking. Like, that's the dude with the death touch. That's the dude that's the biggest star in the sport. I think Alex is arguably the biggest star in the sport right now. I mean, Conor McGregor is the biggest star by far, but obviously he's got his own things going on right now that don't involve fighting. I just think that's the biggest fight that you can make. So I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm on an island and that everybody's just like, ah, this dude's ducking. I'm like, but look at what he's saying he wants to do. He wants to fight the scariest guy in the sport right now. How is that ducking? It's a bigger name, a bigger fight, and an incredibly dangerous dude. How is that ducking?
Yeah. I mean, and it is a much more, I think, a much bigger payday. I mean, he deserves to call a shot. I mean, I guess if you had to pick it in two ways, I mean, I think one, to ever hear that we would think, you know, that John Jones would just get to the point where if you don't give me the fight I want, I'm just going to walk away from the belt. Like, we never thought we would ever hear those words come out of his mouth. And that's like what we heard yesterday. He actually said, you know, like, you know, if that's the fight you're going to, you know, force me on, fine. I'll just vacate the belt, you know, like. The belt's not that important. It's about the fights, even though, and that's why we were like, well, you know, you could have vacated the belt and just fought Stipe if this fight was what was important to you. You could have did that a year ago, but you didn't want to vacate the belt because you said like, oh, you know, I deserve this. You know, I'm the champ, blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden, so quickly, you're willing to say, well, I'll vacate the belt if I'm not going to get what I want. And in a sense, I agree 100% that, you know, this is a bigger fight. He should be able to ask for the fights that he wants. But I can also see why people consider if you're going to say on one hand, yes, this guy isn't going to do any numbers for me. He does nothing for my legacy. But then in three breaths later, say he's 30 pounds heavier. He's younger. He's more dangerous than, you know, quite possibly than what Stipe is offering or whatever. And if I don't want to fight that's fine. But you can't argue with why other people then are saying, well, in my version of ducking, if there is an interim belt and there's a champion belt, they have to be combined. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to say you're going to walk away, it's not a pleasant term, but if somebody says, well, if you don't accept the fight and you're willing to vacate a belt to not fight a guy, can you not then say that you're ducking that fight, regardless of who the person is? If you have an obligation to unite the belts, and if you're saying, I'd rather vacate the belt because I don't want to fight that particular person, somebody's going to say that's ducking. You know, regardless, do we say that whether he's scared or not? I don't think he's scared. I agree with his reasoning that he wants to fight a bigger fight, and I think a fight against Alex Pereira is a badass fight, and I hope we get to see that one. But I can't argue with people that are upset that a champ is choosing to not unite the belts and would rather, you know, keep fighting of his own choosing. So people are going to say that's ducking. People are going to say you're opting to not unite the belts. So what other, and they just happen to call it ducking because it's a shitty term, you know, right. Like, you know, if they just said, you know, you're choosing not to unite the belts, like it's just not as catchy as saying you're ducking somebody.
No, you're right. It's a tough
one. But I understand his reasoning, you know, 100%, you know. But and what is it? Jones is like, I didn't like that they even created a interim belt in the first place. It's like,
right.
How long has your belt been undefended? 2 years? More?
Yeah.
It's like you have to have the belt has to keep moving. If you say the belt was not that important, that you just wanted the fight with Stipe, you could have vacated the belt. But no, the belt does mean something to you. So for then you to then just turn right around and say, I'll leave this darn thing. I don't need this darn thing. It's like, where was that talk 2 years ago?
It's true.
You know,
true.
If you really want to keep this fight and it's about legacy, you didn't need to have this belt. You were saying, oh, the belt's the belt, the belt, the belt. I'm the heavyweight champ. The heavyweight champ unites the belts, brother. You know?
It's true. It's funny because I'm thinking about John Jones' career and how many times he's been stripped or vacated or whatever else. I mean, he's had to give up belts so many times over the years. And so for him, I'm sure he's like, whatever, I don't care. I still get paid the same regardless. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, like, but he said his last one. He's like, I fought the last one. I still got my millions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just, all right, I got
like
it.
Like that? I just dropped it?
It's funny, man. You make a good point, man. You really do make a good point. But it just – like, so if you know that John Jones says, I've only got one fight and I'm going
to
leave it up.
That's the part. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No,
that,
I was just going
to
say.
That just struck in me because that's the thing he didn't say yesterday.
Right.
And I think that would have cleared it up a lot. Like if he said, guys, I think I got one more. I want my legacy to be what I want it to be. And I think Alex Pereira is a better one. He made it sound like fights. I swear I heard fights. at some point.
Yeah.
And if this isn't going to be the last one and he's just going to go about, you know, picking and choosing, then I feel like we can't say, well, if we think he only has one. I left the impression yesterday that he thinks he sees multiple fights as long as they're what he wants. Mm. For all we know, I saw somebody put a tweet out, the gloves and a commission thing. You know, the commission already approved supposedly the new gloves.
Right.
If what I read was correct, and Jones was saying he didn't like the new gloves. It's so funny. He's like, it kind of curves your fingers down, and I literally like, almost started chuckling.
That's the point.
I was like, oh my God.
Somebody was like,
did he ask? Like nobody just straight up asked. Like, John, did you ask for these gloves to be put in place? And maybe that could have been a legit question. Maybe people would have
been like, okay, question.
You know, like that's the power that this guy involves. Like, you want me to come back? Okay, I'm coming back for the belt and I want the old gloves.
Somebody actually should ask
the shit out of his eyes.
Somebody should ask that at the press conference today. Because the way he told the story was, you know, I was a little bit worried. And then Hunter called and I was like, well, we got so many veterans on the card. Why don't we just use the old ones? But I can't imagine that the UFC unprovoked or unrequested was just like, you know, let's go with the old ones in this one. It seems like a request was filed or a request was made with them. So that is a legitimate question. I hope somebody does ask that at the press conference today. But you made a great point there. Because I, as much as I'm going to stand here and I'm going to defend John Jones and say that I think he's earned the right and that I think he gets to make the call. Because, listen, to me, I think that's every man's dream is to get themselves to a position in life where they get to call the shots. Where they, like he, you know what? I don't fight again. I got enough money in the bank. Don't care. I'm good financially. I never have to work again. Yep. How about that? My legacy won't be in question because I'm the greatest of all time. Like I think John Jones is in a spot that every human being would like to be in, where they legit have the opportunity to call the shots of what they do. But I think you touched on something there that is right. I'm working under the assumption that he has one more fight. And if he only has one more fight, and it's Alex Pereira, I don't see how you can call that ducking. Now, if he has two more fights, and one of them is not Tom Aspinall, now we got to talk a little bit. Because I don't see – like at that point, we're revisiting this entire discussion, right? Because if you say, man, I only got one left, and I just think – Pereira is the bigger star. It puts more money in the bank. It does more for my legacy because he's the two-division champion. We're two-division champions going at it. We're two of the – you know, he's got the scare. Like, that's amazing. And then I ride off into the sunset. I can't argue with that. But if you go through all that and then you go, and I still got one left, and it's – you know, I don't want to say a name and insult somebody.
That's the thing. Like, there is nobody else. If you are going to fight outside of Alex Pereira, which I think everybody in the world would be clamoring to see, you have to have the current interim champ be the other opponent. If not, whether you think his team's an asshole, whether you think he's an asshole.
His fans. I love it. I'm not fighting him because his fans are assholes.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Because they're in the cage with you guys. They make me feel bad when I go on Twitter. So I'm going to not fight this guy. It would be – at that point, it's hard to not agree with what people are saying. I'll give you Alex, you deserve that, you know, like – because, one, I would like to see that more than I would like to see the Tom Aspinall fight. Sign me up. I'm there. But if you are going to continue a career after that, there is absolutely nobody – like, I would – it would be almost comical to say, like, okay, for your legacy, after Alex, who even exists? I've been a big, you know, my balls is hot fan, so I think I'm going to challenge Derek Lewis for the next one because
that's my legacy.
Better. That's my legacy, you know, because my balls were hotter than his.
We love Derek Lewis, but no.
Oh, yeah, and I just threw out Derek just because it's ridiculous. If he has more than one in, you have to do that. You know, if this is just his way to justify getting the Alex fight, then do what you have to do. But if you have any more than one fight, and I just didn't feel that. I wish he would have said that.
Yeah.
If he would have said that, people would drop it. People would be like, I get it. You know, but if you're getting the sense that he, you know, is going to actually try to have a run in heavyweight. I mean, he's only fought once in heavyweight. You know, he's made this big move. He's been training his body. It would be a shame if it's only you know, this fight and maybe one more, you know, unless he's getting so much money off that one. At some point, he's going to have to fight whoever the interim champ is. And if that is Tom Aspinall, it's going to have to be Tom. If not, and he chooses not to, it's going to be hard to say that you're not ducking him if you choose to have somebody else after Alex. And that's with all the respect in the world to Jones and being able to pick. It's just silly at that point. You know, because then your legacy would be like, I'm not choosing whoever the best, hottest guy in the moment. Whether he doesn't want to acknowledge what Tom is doing right now in the heavyweight division, Tom, outside of John, Aspinall is the guy creating waves in that division. So, you know,
I agree. I think as I'm laying now, obviously, again, I've just said that Stipe could disrupt everything, and I still do believe that. Stipe packs enough power into that right hand. John Jones addressed that, admitted that he's got to be careful with that. I mean, so things could change. But if John Jones does what most people expect him to do, which is to go out and win on Saturday night against Stipe Miocic, I mean, can you imagine if he did do – I'm thinking Alex Bejeda, International Fight Week in Las Vegas, obviously next summer, that'd be massive. And if he does have one more, go right back to Madison Square Garden next fall, him and Tom Aspinall right there, and that's the retirement.
Do you think
fight.
Aspinall doesn't fight for a whole year waiting?
No, because he's already been waiting. No, he's got – I think
he's already
been
waiting. He's going to have to pick up something. That's so crazy that we're seeing, like, the interim belt being defended. But it's got to happen before
you'd
that.
You'd have to. You'd want to – you'd, I think you'd want to – boy, that's crazy though, right? Because on the one hand, you'd want to stay busy just to A, make some money, and B, stay sharp. But if you're risking that massive payday, that massive fight, you know what I mean? Like, maybe you're better off sitting out and waiting. So that'd be a tough call. That'd be a really tough call.
It's a tough call, but I mean, I can see where if Aspinall's like, dude, if I'm willing to challenge John Jones, who else is there? Bring on anybody.
This
honestly,
is true.
I don't see Tom's shine down from anybody, because I mean, if you're willing and you're asking for the baddest man out there right now, who else is there? We saw the guys that he already went through that we thought were going to be the guys that were going to go through Tom, and Tom flattened them.
That would make you undeniable as well. And what a marketing opportunity that would be if, like, you do have to take another fight, you do have to defend it, and then you defend it, and let's say you get another first round finish, which obviously he does that quite often, and then you get done and you get on the mic and you're like, What are you doing, John Jones? Like, why am I wasting my time out here with these people? You know what I mean? I'm fighting these guys when we all know the fight that everyone wants to see is me and you. These people can't challenge me. I'm out here just wasting my time, ruining these people's lives when it's you that I need to be fighting. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it would be pretty incredible. So,
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
Because if you don't answer that call, then you're ducking it.
I would look at that point. I'll take my John Jones defense out. I'll be like, you know. I can't defend my boy anymore. I love this guy, but yeah, I can't deny him anymore. Like he's I can't defend him. He's got to step up. So step one starts on Saturday night. We'll certainly see how that one plays out. Again, John Jones a massive favorite according to the odds makers, but boy, Stipe can come in and ruin everything, and maybe he'll bring a like Jorge Masvidal. He'll just bring some pizza to the post fight and just sit there and crushing pizza during the post fight. Like every time we see you, Stipe, you're eating a meal. It's great. All right, co-main event, Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler, a rematch of what was an incredibly intriguing, incredibly exciting fight. Expects to be so again. Charles Oliveira, always classy, you know, always exciting, not a trash talker by any chance. Michael Chandler, obviously always a motivational speaker every time he gets on the mic, saying all the right things. You know, I love what he says, you know, the Michael Chandler 2.0, you know, he basically admitted, like, look, I'm going to try to fight smarter, but I just am what I am. Like, I'm foot on the accelerator. Let's go. Anything from these two guys that stood out to you that made you change or sway or anything you picked? I mean, this is just going to be chaos for as long as it lasts, right? That's just the way the two guys fight.
And that's the thing. I mean, I expect Chandler just to come forward trying to drop some bombs. And I see Charles doing. Charles got some hands as well. So I did lean on Charles on this one. I think it's gonna go that way again. I mean, the champ had a name, and his name at one point was Charles Oliveira. And I hope for a good fight though. But yeah, both guys coming in there yesterday, confident. Charles with his super bright white teeth, you know, still
just sparkling,
smiling just away, just sparkling away. No, I think that's going to be a good fight. If anything else, I think that's the fight that's just going to amp people up for that main event. So I'm expecting it to be a good one. I want to go into some rounds. I mean, I want them to use those five rounds if possible. Yeah. But if not, if it's a slobber knocker for, you know, for 5 minutes right from the get go or whatever, let's do it. So
you think if Chandler loses, and look, I don't want to go too far into the Conor McGregor thing. I mean, it's just a terrible situation, man. You don't know what's fact, what's fiction, yeah. I guess we'll find out, you know what I mean? But obviously we're seeing the same details that everybody else is, and there's some horrific reports. But if you know, Conor's been on the stand saying, listen, man, it was consensual, and I don't know what that's about. So we'll find out, I guess, what ultimately, I guess, they believe is the truth. That could have an impact on things. But I guess if Conor is cleared, and he does fight again, if Chandler loses, do you think that he's out of the equation, or do you think the UFC still goes back to him and goes, hey, that's the fight we wanted. We're still putting it together. We got to close the scenario here at the Ultimate Fighter.
I think it's a done deal. I mean, if he loses, I see no reason for Conor to honor it. I think we would have already saw it. If that was something that Conor really wanted, I think we would have already saw that fight at this point. If he loses, if Chandler comes back and loses that, what's the heat, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just to have Conor come back and like, loser, you know? Like, he calls his own people of his own organization when they lose, losers, and kind of discredits them. Like, I just don't see him giving Chandler the light of day if Chandler doesn't come off with a win here. I already felt like that fight was probably never going to happen at this point, you know, as much as we were hoping out for it to actually happen. If he loses, I think the slim chances of it happening that existed before would probably be non-existent at that point.
Yeah.
I just don't see any point for it at that point.
It almost
it's already so far removed. Like, we're already talking about the next show is about to start. You know, they're talking about the new, hey, you guys want to be a tough fighter? Come audition, you know, maybe, you know, like nobody cares. It's so old news now that they're like, they were coaches? Oh, that's interesting, you know?
Listen, to be honest with you, it almost feels weird talking about Conor McGregor's fighting future given what's going on. He's not facing criminal charges. It's just civil penalties, so it's just money that he's, you know, potentially going to lose in this case. But it does feel weird to talk about fighting when that's going on. But, obviously – it looks like he will fight again. Again, it's not criminal charges. So I want to ask you about Bo Nickel versus Paul Craig, because when this fight was first announced, I got super excited for it because I was like, this matchup is sick. Like, Bo Nickel, the fast rising star, the collegiate wrestling champion, you know, he's amazing. But Paul Craig, man, the jiu-jitsu, come from behind, scrappy, like, this is going to be awesome. But I think I had a realization this week that I don't think Bo Nickel's going to even try to take Paul Craig down. I think this is going to be a stand-up fight, and that is not the fight I want to see, to be honest with you. Like, I wanted to see this because I wanted to see the insane wrestler against the crazy jiu-jitsu guy that has pulled off these insane submissions. But I think, now that I think about it, like, Bo Nickel probably and his team realized that that's the most dangerous place to be, and that Paul Craig's – I mean, not that Bo Nickel is – you know, some seasoned striker by any stretch, but we've seen Paul's striking over the years not be fantastic. And I kind of feel like this is going to play out on the feet. And if it does, I'm going to be sorely disappointed because that's not the fight I want to see.
Yeah. It's as long as we don't see Paul Craig walk out there and immediately try to pull guard from the opening match, I'd be like, oh, stop. Yeah, no, I think the hands is going to solve this. I lean Nickel on this one. I think, you know, even when we saw before, while he's not – everybody, you know, wants to lean on his wrestling accolades, the guy's been able to focus on his striking. And I thought when we first saw him, I thought he had a pretty decent striking base,
yeah.
You know, knowing that he had a wrestling background. And the guy's been focused on it. And I don't really see Paul as being this guy that – you know, wants to stand and bang. So I think, you know, he's going to be looking for a way to take down. And when you're looking at somebody's legs and trying to look for an opportunity to go down, you're probably not looking for the hands that are swinging for your face. Yep. And I think Bo's going to probably catch him. And if he catches him and just he's got pretty quick hands, I think he'll just swarm him. And with that wrestling base, I imagine we'll probably either get a TKO or a quick submission. Probably, I'd be willing to say no later than round two. I'm pretty confident we could probably see a finish in the first round.
I am too. It's funny. I don't know why that dawned on me this week. For the first time it was announced, I'm like, this is going to be sick. I love this. And now I'm like, it's probably not going to be sick.
Yeah. And they're both nice guys. I mean, I love Paul Craig. I mean, in fact, when I saw him yesterday, he came and he was – a bunch of the fighters were stopping by the ENG room before they were the way they had it positioned. The ENG room where they would go get their shoots was easier to access than where like the office was. So a lot of the fighters were coming up by the ENG room, which happened to be right by where the media check-in is. And so I got to actually chat with Paul for a little bit, you know, and I always feel bad because I really like the guy, but it's like, you know, I'm like, fuck, of course I picked against him. You know, I hate Fridays
when our staff picks come out,
you know, I hate any fighter that I really, really like and respect seeing that I didn't pick him. I don't think he's going through and looking at the picks like, oh, that guy, I know him. He didn't pick me. Well, fuck him, you know, but still, you know, I love chatting with him. I have a lot of respect for him. He's always been super nice to us. Whenever I've seen him out at, PFL once, I think we were there covering something and another reporter had her kid with us. And I was like, Paul, and the kid was a fan of Craig's. And I was like, Paul, can you mind taking a picture with this kid? And he's like, oh yeah, of course. You know, and was like super nice, you know? And so when you have a lot of respect, and I really appreciate it, he do things like that. It sucks when you pick against him, but I just think Nickel, he's the real deal, man. He's got incredible wrestling accolades, but I think his hands are good as well, and they're only getting better, man. The guy is just getting into really embracing it, but having such a great base of wrestling to where he could focus on his striking, it's not like he's a guy that needs to really worry about his footing as well, because he's so good with controlling his base due to wrestling that he's always going to be very grounded and very well set into when he's striking. He probably generates a lot of power when he torques and twists his hips because he's used to throwing dudes, you know, like, so he generates a lot of power in his punches, and it's just a matter of getting the finesse, being able to look for shots coming his way and being able to then deliver good quality strikes in the right areas. I mean, he's got a lot of things factoring in his favor when it comes to striking. And once he gets a really good hang of that, he's going to be a very, very dangerous, very, very, even more so dangerous opponent than in what he is right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bo Nickel is the real deal, man. So I echo with you, man. I like Paul Craig a lot, man. Every time we've interacted with him, he's a good dude. But
I hate watching him. I hate seeing him lose.
I know.
It sucks.
It's tough, man. It's tough. All right, listen. I guess I know you're in New York. I know you're tied up with UFC 309, and we could talk about the rest. I mean, Viviana Araújo, Karina Silva is a meaningful fight. Mauricio Rufi versus Hamas Yantop. We know why they put that as the main card opener. Mauricio Rufi, a lot of people very high on this man and what he brings to the table. Actually, man, Jonathan Martinez, Marcus McGee, and seeing Marcus McGee as the favorite there, and I understand why. The guy is on a roll, but Jonathan Martinez, love that guy as well. Chris Weidman, Eric Anders, that's an interesting one. Jim Miller, Damon Jackson, like that's
an old school fight.
That's two blue collar dudes going at it, man. Like I hate to see one of those guys lose, but when they announced that matchup, I got really, really excited for that one, man. Those two guys, I love seeing matched up, and you know, Mickey Gall on the prelims, Basil Chavez on there as well. So it's a good card. But I gotta ask you, what is the temperature, and are plans being made around the media room about what happens on Friday night? Because you do have Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, which I should point out, my 12-year-old son, even though I'm not going to be in town because I'm heading to the airport as soon as we get done recording, but he's already talked to mom about, hey, let's make sure on Friday night we're watching Netflix. You know, he wants to watch it. People are talking about it at the school. I mean, I'm sure this is going to be the most watched boxing event of all time, given that I think most people – you know, they have a ton. I mean, their subscriber base is massive, right? Like everybody has Netflix. So,
yeah, a couple hundred million, I think, is what they were saying.
That's amazing, man. So I guess what's the temperature on the ground there? What's your personal temperature? Because I think most of us all feel the same way. I don't think I'm going out on a limb and saying that most of us, especially if you're guys of our age that grew up watching Mike Tyson, that grew up playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out, that grew up, you know, whatever. Like, this guy was an icon of our generation. I think most people obviously had his troubled days as well. But as far as a boxer and a sportsman, you know, the guy is an icon and a legend, and I think most people would like to see him win. I think you and I are both kind of in the same camp that I don't consider myself a Jake Paul fan, but I also don't consider myself a Jake Paul hater. Like, I think you have to respect, I mean, what he's done. I mean, what he's accomplished for himself, the life he's built for himself, the revenue that he's generated for himself. It's incredible. Taking the sport seriously, by the way, I mean, really committing himself to it, has made himself a good fighter. I don't think a good enough fighter to beat Canelo, and I know that's where he wants to go next from here. I think that would be a whole nother level. But I think most people want to see Mike Tyson win this thing. And it is, look, it is worth pointing out that, what, he's 58 years old. I mean, there are health concerns about sending a 58-year-old man out there for a boxing match, but he does look to be in good shape. So I don't know. I don't think a full breakdown is necessary. I think we all understand it, unless you're just an absolute novice to combat sports, you basically understand that A, Mike Tyson does have power, and so if he lands early, it could be very problematic for Jake Paul, but that B, he's also a 58-year-old man, and there's a reason you don't see 58-year-old men at elite levels of boxing, because like, as this thing wears on, no matter what shape he's in, as a 58-year-old man, you simply will not continue to pack power and have energy. So early on, Mike Tyson will be dangerous. The longer this thing goes, the less effective he'll be, and the more that Jake Paul has the ability to, if not just outpoint him, potentially even score something late on him. Because Jake Paul, if you've never stood next to Jake Paul, that dude is a big dude, man. Like, he's legit. I mean, he's a big guy, so his power is legit. So anyway, I don't think necessarily a full breakdown analysis is necessary, because I think it's pretty obvious how this thing could play out either way. But are people talking about it? What are you hearing? Are you guys going to watch this thing on Friday night? What's the plan?
We haven't really talked about it yet. So far, you know, we only really got to chat while it was media room. So I think we were still sort of a buzz about seeing Jones and whatever. So people weren't really so much talking about it. I'm sure that'll probably happen more today. I know I'll probably watch it somewhere. You know, I'm sure people will either find some sort of either a bar that has it, or maybe we'll just get together somewhere. If nothing else, I'll come back and watch it wherever I'm at. But yeah, I know I'm planning on watching it. I'm sure I can arouse some people together. I'm not trying to – these kids, they like to drink a lot when they get together. So, like, there's a part of me that's like, I don't want to hang out with y'all. Y'all get too drunk. And I think there's an ESPN mixer. I think that might be the same night, so I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to go.
Those are always fun.
Yeah, didn't you guys almost get in a fight the last one?
Oh my God, I totally forgot about that.
I did forget about it because y'all was drunk. I think you almost got in a fight, and Oscar almost got in a fight.
Was it
just mainly you were the one that got in a fight?
No, I think Oscar and another party started going at it, and I got involved. Liz, like, what are you
That's
doing?
That's what it was. That's what it was.
I was trying to be the voice of reason, wasn't I? I thought I was. Wasn't
I? Don't know.
I totally forgot about.
So
that.
Yeah. I don't mess with ESPN mixers after that. I remember I showed up for that one. I was like, I can't deal with this. I was like, I'm leaving. And then I heard that you guys almost got in a fight. I was like, I'm glad I left. And it wasn't like against. It was like other media people. It wasn't even like it was like random. Person at a bar, and then media got in a fight. It was like media fighting media. I was like, this is ridiculous.
And that was a year or two after we had an unconscious media member at one of those.
He was just hard.
In fairness, he was just very tired. It had been a long day, and he said, "You know what? What better place to get a quick nap in than in this packed bar in New York City?" With bunches of people around me. I mean, we've all been there, right?
We've all been there.
What better place to get a quick nap?
But yeah, as for the fight, I think you described it as well. I mean, I think most people probably along the lines of that they think they just don't want to see some crazy elderly abuse out there. I mean, it's, you know, when you look at Tyson, he's gotten huge. He is on all the things, you know, possible. He's been injected with him. I mean, he looks in great shape for a 58-year-old guy that if you look at him a year ago and you look at him now, his body has transformed. So good on him. He's been doing the work. And you watch him hitting mitts. I mean, yeah, you still see the power, but man, everything you see is short, in close. You know, one works that he wants to work the body. He wants to come up top, you know, with a big hook, you know, and that was always his big signature style of back then. But the problem was he's fighting a taller, longer guy that if who happens to have an incredible uppercut that we have not really seen him be able to use that much. And that's what I fear is going to be the problem for Tyson when he's going to try to get in close where he could do the most damage. And kind of he likes to tuck his head sort of right up into the chest a little bit, so where he's kind of almost being blocked by the guy's body. I feel like he's going to push forward trying to get in and close that distance. And if he doesn't watch out, my fear is that he's going to get caught by a couple of those uppercuts. And a 58-year-old guy, as tough and as great as you once were, you're not going to be able to eat those powerful uppercuts all day long. And I feel like he's probably going to ultimately, if I had to pick the shot that's going to do it, I think that's the shot that's going to eventually lead to his demise, because he's going to come in there trying to hit him and he's going to get caught. But dude, would I be so happy if you see that fucking Mike Tyson's knockout punch that we've always seen from the video games and everything, where he just steps forward and drops a bomb and Jake's like, you know, I don't know, doesn't keep his guard up and maybe we get something. But I don't know. I think Jake has youth on his side. He has size. He has strength. I think even he, if Tyson is able to land a clean shot, I'm pretty confident that Jake could probably take one of those. Can he take two or three? Probably not. But I just don't know if Tyson's going to be able to land multiple solid shots close, because I don't think Jake's going to let him get close. If I was Jake's coach, I would say just keep him at arm's distance. Jab him to death. And when he tries to come in close, catch him with an uppercut and then just finish him.
100%. You should just, I mean, that it sucks, but you're right. Like, Jake really shouldn't engage early on. You know what I mean?
Don't,
like,
let him close, especially not at the beginning, not in the round one. Like, nope. do not get him, let him get even get remotely close to anything where he can clinch or, I mean, throw those hands. I mean, watch any sparring footage that he's done. I mean, it's all right in his coach's face, real short shots, you know, and that's where all of his power is. He's not throwing big, any long looping shots. I doubt we even see a jab. We maybe see one jab as Tyson lunges in. He's going to jab, lunge in, and try to throw a hook.
You know what's funny as you say that is, it's been 30 years since I've played Mike Tyson's punch out, I imagine. But wasn't that the whole thing? Is that I can't remember if it was the first half of round one or it was all of round one.
You had to just dodge.
Yeah, you had to just dodge, right? Like, right? Because he had the one shot, and it was either the first half of round one or all of round one. You couldn't even attack. You really just had to dodge, and then you had to come piece him up afterwards, because after that, you could just slip and counter. So it's literally, hey, did you ever play the game and beat him in the game? That's how you
it's
have to do
like
here.
That.
Round one.
Dodge, dodge, uppercut, dodge, dodge, uppercut.
That's great. All right, well, listen, hope you're having a good time in New York City. I got to go. I literally, as soon as we get done and I hit stop on this, I've got to head to the airport, flying out to North Carolina today. Tomorrow, CFFC match day, will be outside. We're actually on the Campbell University baseball field for the duel on the diamond. It'll be Nebraska versus Campbell, myself and Shane Sparks on the call. Then Saturday, we'll all be together watching you guys up in New York, watching this thing play out, which I'm looking forward to. And then Sunday, we'll be in Toms River, New Jersey. You know, if you're in Toms River, New Jersey, you know who's going to be there. Frankie Egger will definitely be in the building, of course, because if there's combat sports happening in Toms River, New Jersey, you know the answer is going to be there. But we got NC State versus Princeton, and then NC State versus Rutgers as well. So check out a little CFFC match day if you haven't before. Trying to put a spotlight on college wrestling. Obviously, you take a look at this UFC 309 card, a lot of college wrestlers on there. Of course, Bo Nickel's the big name standout, but I mean, John Jones, Stipe, Chris Weidman, Michael Chandler at Missouri. Eric Anders was playing football. I don't know if he
football,
wrestled.
Football, football, that's right.
But anyway,
right, football. Marcus McGee.
Yep, exactly. So a lot of collegiate wrestlers on there, man, to say the least. So trying to shine a light on that and having some fun doing it. And like I said, I'm working behind the scenes on it as well. I'm enjoying the new skills of the game, learning the production side of things as well. So anyway, that's awesome. Go out there and, big plans today, just press conference and then back home. That's it?
press conference and yeah, take it easy. Maybe go out and have a adult beverage or two this evening, perhaps.
We got early
weigh-in, so I'm not going to go crazy, but I'll find something.
I was gonna say,
supposedly some.
Look at you sitting there judging people for going out and having too many cocktails. Like, I was like, where did this guy come from? Did you not work with me for like 10 years, bro? Like,
that's why I learned to judge people. I was like, don't do that. No, I'm sure I'll go out and have a beverage or two, but that's about it. I'm not gonna go too crazy hard. You know, these early morning weigh-ins is no fun. They're no fan of late nights.
Yeah,
so
we need to get rid of
good.
These.
I'll be generally good.
to hell with fighter safety. Let's talk about media safety. What are we doing with these early morning weigh-ins?
Yeah,
let's get rid of. Don't they weigh in on Thursday nights? Let's do that from now.
I'm about that.
Let's do the press conference. And as soon as the press conference is over, go hit the scales and let's get this thing done, man.
Yeah.
All right, listen, I got to pack up. I got to head to the airport now. So always good to catch up with you, man. Special Thursday morning edition because Cold Coffee was tired yesterday after media day, so we decided not to. So anyway, I will do a half for those of us supporting us over at patreon.com/MMAroadshow. I don't know how or when just exactly yet. I will be on East Coast time zone, which sucks to do and a half episodes because obviously it's so late, and we do have an early crew call the next day. For Tom's River, so at some point. But I will definitely make that happen, as always, because we definitely want to recap what is going to be an awesome UFC 309 event, I believe. Maybe Stipe can cause some insane chaos, or maybe John Jones wins, calls out Alex Bejeda, tells Tom Aspinall he's an asshole and a sit-down. I don't know. I can't wait, because Tom's going to be there, so I can't wait to see how he handles it. I do. It would be an amazing moment for John to just be like, look, young buck, you know what I mean? Start calling him out there and
stoke
the plane.
Do we see Tom weigh in tomorrow?
Supposed to. He's supposed to be the official backup.
So, I mean, like, that's going to be something, man. That's going to be something.
That sets up
a whole bunch of shit, you know? Like, Tom makes weight. Something happens. What do? We can't lose the main event, right? If we lose one guy, that fight has to combine. You know, should something happen with Stipe, Jones cannot deny that, right? And if you do you then say you're ducking, regardless of what you want for your next fight? If you pass on this,
Tom should, like, I mean, I know that the UFC pays very close attention to, like, brands and things like that, but he should have somebody, like, draw on his shoulder, like, crossbones, like, just like the little bones. And then a duck, and make it look like it's a tattoo, like right here on his shoulder. You know what I mean? Can you imagine? He gets up on the scale to weigh in as a backup, and on his left shoulder, he's got a little crossbones and a duck right next to it, dude. Like that.
Like, these are duck bones.
We'll see how it all plays out, boy. I'm telling you. I am a John Jones defender. I think he's perfectly right in this scenario. But if he has two fights and one of them isn't Tom Aspinall, then I gotta just fold my cards, lay them down, and admit, be like, you guys are right. Sorry. But for now, I'm standing in line. All right, speaking of standing in line, I gotta go stand in the security line. I gotta get off. For everybody, we appreciate you giving us some time. We appreciate your support more than anything. Just thanks for listening.